And it's good to see all of you. We're here to celebrate Jesus. We're here to celebrate His love and that He gave Himself for us completely. And He didn't just give us the sign of the cross. He gave us the sign of the resurrection. That is where our hope is secured, that the grave could not hold our Savior. Amen? Amen. Last week I began speaking to you out of Psalm 22. I'm going to continue with that today. So I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Psalm 22. And if you will, please stand with me in honor of God's Word this morning. Psalm 22, and I'll begin reading in verse number 21. Psalm 22, beginning in verse number 21. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations, and all the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation, and they will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. Father, we thank you so much again for your love, your mercy, and your grace upon us. Lord, we celebrate your life. We celebrate even your death. But greater the glory and the resurrection that we turn to you with praise and say, Lord, thank you for the forgiveness of sins and for the power of life through faith in you. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us, for showing yourself to us through your words and through your life and through the promises of tomorrow. And Father, I pray that you will strengthen us in this time to see you, to celebrate you, to praise you, and to share you with all that we can. Father, help us as your children. We ask you to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. So as we were looking at this psalm last week, we saw the horror of the suffering Christ, the Messiah, who would come and have to endure. And we saw the pleadings, even there in the very first verse, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The first words of Christ hanging on the cross. And we began to read the rest of the psalm, and we see things that are just happening. And we see Christ, and we see the psalm, and we see Christ, and we see this. There's no way that we can't see what God is telling us His Son would endure, what the Holy One would endure, the Messiah, the Savior, for all who would come in faith to Him and find forgiveness of sins. Through the sacrifice, He's already said, would take place. And in the first half of the psalm, he is pleading. We see a cry of agony. How many of you have ever been in agony? I could tell you about a time I stumped my toe one time when I was a kid, and the skin from the top of the toenail back to the joint rolled over. That's agony, isn't it? agony. How many of us have cried in agony? I know Christ cried in agony. I know that his soul was burdened, so much so that when he fell down in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was bleeding sweat, was blood dropping from him, with so much stress over what he was about to endure and about to take on because of all of us. Those that were, those that have come since, and those that have yet to come. He was carrying the weight of sin for us all. And the first portion of this psalm is a cry of agony. And then you get to this moment there and he says, "Save me. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen." It's like, I don't want to be shredded. I don't want to be torn apart. Save me from this. And then there's a moment of peace. There's a shifting from the agony to something wonderful. There is an answer that is being given, and he even speaks it to us right here. It's almost as if though he catches his breath and he stops and he sees something wonderful and he pauses and then he says to us, "You have answered me." And as he thinks in amazement and in wonder of what is being revealed, he then continues, "I will declare your name to my brethren." I will declare your name. Cry of agony, hope infused into the one who is speaking, and then the voice of victory. This is what's happening. Can you see that in this psalm? A cry of agony shifting to a voice of victory. Because victory is what we have. Triumph over the grave is what we have in Christ Jesus. And so it wouldn't be fitting for the psalm to just stop with all of the agony. It's wonderful that we can see all of this so many years before it transpired so that we could recognize it in Christ. But we can't let it stop right there. There has to be more to the story. And the resurrection, the victory over death, is what the psalmist gives us as he closes it out. There's going to be pain and suffering, but there's victory. There's victory in Jesus. And that's what we're here to celebrate today. He lives. You ask me how I know? He lives within my heart. His Holy Spirit makes it known. The truth of who He is and what He has done to save me from sin is written throughout the Scripture for us to see, and the promises of days yet to come. And He has been answered. And He says, "I will declare now your name in the midst of the assembly. I will praise you." All the agony, that's done. And now is a time for praise. "I will declare your name." And I want to remind you of something. Even though we knew that the Messiah would suffer, we see Jesus when he is standing before the people and he is praising his Father. He says this in John chapter 10. And you're going to know it. You're going to hear it. You're going to say, "Oh, I know that." This is just a walk in the Scripture, the prophecy and the fulfillment, the agony and the praise. And Jesus said to his followers and his disciples and those who were standing there, he said, "My Father loves me." He's praising his name. "My Father loves me because I lay down my life. I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. The commandment I have received from my Father." And I will praise your name in the assembly of your people. The Son praising the Father, and the Spirit today who works within us and reveals the truth of all that is happening. He says, you have answered me, and I will praise your name. And you who fear the Lord, praise Him. The psalmist said long before this was ever happening that we should bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord and His holy name, because when he cried, he heard him. You see that in verse 24? He has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we know that Jesus was taking on the weight of sin, and God the Father had to look away, if you will, for a moment. But he did not leave him without an answer. Just like he does not leave us without an answer. When you feel the affliction of this world, does he answer you when you cry out to him? When you feel the weight and the pain of life, does he answer you when you cry out to him? Are you crying out to him? Are you crying out to the one who saves? Are you letting yourself be filled with the Spirit? Are you letting your life be guided by the Spirit and by the Word, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit working together through all of these things to get you where you should be in life with Him? Has He answered you as He answered Christ? Now we know that Jesus was the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. We already know that. Jesus is the Creator. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The one thing that we have never seen is the Father, but we have seen the Father and the Son. Jesus said, if you know me, you know the Father. And we see that the Son and the Father are so unified that when the Son cries out, the Father answers him. So bless the Lord. Praise the Lord, all of you who love him. Bless the Lord with all of your heart and all of your soul. Bless his holy name, because it is through his suffering Son, the Messiah, the Christ, that we have forgiveness of sin. I don't want to endure that. I can't stand under that weight. Christ has to do it for me. He has to do it for you. And when he cried, he heard him, saw his affliction, and helped him. Had already given him the promise of life, that he could lay his life down and take it up again. When he cried, he heard him. I wonder, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and all of those people were standing there and they said amongst themselves and in mockery to Christ, to his face, he believed in God, let God take him down off the cross. It wasn't the cross that he wanted to come down from in some miracle display of glory. It was the grave that he wanted to walk out of so that people could say, but he was dead. So that people could really look and wonder and say, he lives. And so that people could look to him and say, he must be the Messiah, the Son of God, the promised one, the holy one. And he did more than take him down from the cross. He took him out of the grave so that we could live through our faith in him. And not just live for now, live for tomorrow. And whatever follows after tomorrow, eternity in Christ is life with Christ. And because he lives, I know I can live. I'm not worrying about the pain that was. I'm celebrating the joy that is. And that's what the psalmist has done. He shifted from all of the suffering because there's an answer for it. There's a reason for it and an answer for why it was endured, so that we can praise God. So that we can praise him. The psalmist said in Psalm 16, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. We knew that the Messiah was going to have to suffer and die, but we knew in Psalm 16 that he was not going to see corruption. He didn't say he wouldn't die, but we knew he wouldn't see corruption. Now, how many of you know what that means? You know, after you've been buried for a while, your body decomposes. It's called corrupted. It's corrupted. You know, we were corrupted before we were ever put in the grave. But we can be cleansed through Christ, so that when the body goes into the grave, it doesn't matter what happens to the body. It's the soul. It's the soul that lives. Jesus said, why are you worried about the one who can kill the body when it is the soul that can be destroyed? And the one who can destroy the soul, that's the one that you should be concerned over. God gives life to the soul or casts the soul into eternal damnation. But for those who have cried out to God, their cries have been answered in Christ. And you can find peace and you can find hope and you can find joy in Jesus, the living Jesus Christ. The living Savior, the one who came and who cried, and the Father heard him and answered him. Thomas said, those that were standing around under the cross, same as those in the Psalms, he believed in God, let God save him. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe any of this mess. He came out of the grave. He began to praise the Father in the assembly and before people, one at a time, here and there, at the grave, walking the road, and then showing up among his disciples, and Thomas wasn't there. Where was Thomas at, by the way? You know, people of faith can find themselves in such moments of distress that they are afraid to be associated with those that they should be more closely associated with than anything else. But they hide. And Thomas was one of those. When Jesus was crucified, the disciples ran and they hid and they didn't want to face persecution. But the others, they were assembled and they were meeting and they were talking about this thing, the grave being empty and where is his body? And he showed up right there among them. You know, Jesus does that. He just shows up sometimes. If you've never had that happen to you, I ask you to pray for that. God, just show up one day. God, just show up today. Don't wait for a time of agony and despair. Just have a good moment with God on a good day when you're filled with joy. I'm happy today. God, I sure wish I could spend some time with you in all this happiness. See if he shows up. He'll definitely show up, though, in despair, in agony. And the disciples were congregated behind closed doors. They weren't out in the streets praising him. They were hiding with each other in a room. And Jesus was there. He was there. But Thomas wasn't. And Thomas said, I hear what you're telling me, but I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it until I see it for myself, until I put my finger into the print of the nails, and until I put my hand in his side, I will not believe. You know, there will be people who will die in this life, and they'll see Christ with the wounds of the cross, And it won't matter then if you touch the nail or the side. It's too late. You'll still bow and honor Him on bended knee because He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but He will not be Savior to you. If you can't praise Him now, you will praise Him then. If you can't love Him now, you may not even love Him then, but you will praise Him there then. Every tongue and every knee will bow and confess the name of Jesus Christ. And I am celebrating His resurrection with you today, and I'm celebrating that He lives, and I'm telling you that the psalmist gave us all of the agony, but then He gives us the victory. And in the victory, we see praising the Father's name and praising the Son in the assembly and in the streets and in songs and in words. What we have is a joyous thing that we can celebrate. And we should. We don't need to wait until we touch His hand or His side. We need to see it and experience through the Spirit right now and find forgiveness and find the glory that is so easily shared with those who will come. I love it when He says, but when He cried, He heard Him. And when he hears the Son crying, He hears us crying through the Son. Do you know that? The Son crying because He was taking on our sins for us is one thing, but Him hearing us because His Son takes on our sin is another thing. That's done for you, and it's done in love for you, and it's done with a joyous heart. For you. Jesus didn't cuss at anybody from the cross. He didn't condemn anybody from the cross. He didn't say, oh God, strike them all dead. Father, just kill them all. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And out of ignorance, the greatest blessing we could have took place. The forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. And all the families of the nation shall worship before you, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over the nations. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. In the New Testament, in the book of Philippians, we find this. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. And may I add this. To your glory, if you will come in faith to Jesus Christ, who lives for all who will come. Philippians continues in another chapter, in chapter 4 and verse 7, you find these words as I close us out today. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, I pray it will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You see what happens in the psalm? I told you at the beginning it's a cry of agony, and then it transitions into a voice of victory. And there's an explanation there. and this final portion of Psalm 22 on why it is a voice of victory. It's because there is victory, and it's victory over death. The Messiah lives. When he cried, the Father heard him and answered him. He didn't leave him afflicted to die afflicted. He didn't abandon him. He didn't forsake him. And Jesus says, if we come to him, neither will we be abandoned or forsaken. And all who are collected into the palm of his hand, no one shall take them from his hand. No one is greater than he. And all of the families of the earth, all of the families of the nations, all shall worship before him. Because Jesus Christ is King of all the nations. Of everything. King of kings and Lord of lords. But Savior to those who come. You think of a king as someone as mighty and ruling. You think of a Lord as someone who executes the will of the king. And you think of a Savior as one who has the power of those stations. But yet, he sees you in despair and in need. Instead of justice, he brings mercy. And that's what I am telling you to find today in Jesus Christ. Mercy. Mercy. Forgiveness of sins. Peace with God through Jesus Christ, who came so that we can live through him. What a wonderful psalm this is. Psalm of joy and of amazement. If we will just see the truth of who Christ is in it. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior today? I pray that you do. I pray that you have seen the agony that he suffered for you. I pray that you have felt the guilt of your sin and know that he died because of that guilt you feel, but that he can take that guilt away and that you can find peace and forgiveness for sin. It really is that simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus unto salvation. Unto salvation. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, I plead with you to come. What more can he do for you? What more should he do for you? I tell you what he's willing to do. He's willing to forgive you. He's willing to clean you up and walk with you from this day forward in a way that you didn't even realize he was already doing. But we'll realize now because it's personal with you. It's personal when you come to him and say, Father, forgive me. I have sinned. And he says, well, I know it. I'm glad you see it now. So let's work this out. Let's get it straightened out. And let's get on the path that we need to be on. What a different journey it is when you know Christ as Savior. I invite you to come. Father, I thank you so much again for the time that you have given. It's a time of celebration. For Christ is alive, and forgiveness of sins and the healing of the wounds that we carry is there and available to all who would come. You celebrate us and we celebrate you. And Father, we thank you that you have loved us so much. And we thank you that that love never ends. And Lord, we thank you for the hope that we've yet to see in you. Lord, there is so much still waiting to be revealed. Thank you for setting our eyes to the place that you have prepared for all who come after you. Be with us now, I ask, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come?